matter.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Hi, I'm Marta, I'm an addict.
Hey, Marta.
Hi. My experience is that sharing in this meeting does not get easier with time, and my hands are shaking so much, I'm going to just keep them underneath here because I'm just scared of reaching for a drink and spilling everything. It's an honour to be here, so thank you for asking me. My first sponsor ingrained in me that you never say no to service, so even though I find this excruciating, nerve-wracking, I didn't say no, and I don't think I ever have said no to any type of service, you know, wherever the sharing would be, in whatever part of London, however inconvenient the time of day and night. I've always said yes, and I've always had a service position, whether that's making tea, greeting people at the door, taking the meeting, you know, being a newcomer rep. That was also ingrained in me, that you always say yes to that and that you do it. And I've worked steps. I'm actually working them second time round. I suppose what I'm trying to say is that I've followed all the suggestions and that it's worked for me. So I know it can work for anyone who basically does the same. And like they say, it works if you work it, and it definitely is my experience. And if you're new and if this is your first or one of the first few meetings, welcome. I recognise quite a few people, but there's a lot of faces I actually don't know. It is a scary meeting to come to, I think, in early recovery. The bright lights, you know, the microphone, people standing outside, everyone seems to know each other. So I think you're very brave to be here. And if you think that I have nothing to share with you that is like your experience, that's also okay. It's just one of over 200 meetings in London, so if nothing resonates with you, just go to another one, but do give it a shot. And like I said, I think you're very brave. When I was using, I thought I was very brave when I was scoring in the middle of the night in a Brazilian favela, or that I was very brave when I was hanging out with guys who had guns in their hands, or that I was very brave when I was taking part in crime, or that I was very brave when I was saying whatever I thought to whoever I thought, whatever their authority was, and just basically pushing my way through life. I thought that's what courage was, you know? And today I think being brave, being courageous, is telling the truth, is having integrity, it's showing up no matter what and pushing on no matter what. And I suppose being brave is just knowing what the right thing to do is and then doing it, however hard it is for you at that given time. And that's very new, you know. And when I got clean, the whole concept of telling the truth was completely alien to me, because I've lied all my life about everything. And, you know, I never felt like what I represented and who I was and, you know, what I had to say was good enough in any circumstances. So I always spiced it up just that little bit. You know, from the very young age, from primary school, I remember the first kind of experience of lying. And I didn't even have a reason to do so, because I come from a very good home. There was nothing missing in my house. So it was just me having this feeling of void inside, which made me feel like, well, if I tell this story and I just make it a tiny bit more exciting, people will like me a little bit more. You know, and I'm still capable of doing this today. The other day I was having coffee with a friend and she asked me about my holiday and I said, oh yeah, we went away for 3 weeks. We didn't, we went away for 10 days. You know, theoretically it's completely harmless, but it still shows that I'm uncomfortable with just telling the truth, and I still feel that my holiday will sound better if I lie about how long I was away for, you know. So I suppose when you've lied for so long, it's really difficult not to do it anymore. And, you know, it's a habit which has been so strongly ingrained in me, like I say, since very little, that, you know, the concept of telling the truth at first in recovery was just so bizarre. I mean, I went to my first meeting on the 19th of September 2012, but I insisted that the alcohol wasn't a drug, so I continued drinking for like a month and continued picking up keyrings. You know, it took me 6 months to actually own up and say, you know what, I basically drunk, so I kind of need to adjust my clean time date. for 6 months, I thought, I don't actually need to tell anyone about it. You know, it's just 30 days difference, but it's a huge difference. You know, at first I used to kind of lie to my sponsor about what really has happened, because I thought, if I tell her the truth about who I am, what I've done, what has happened to me, what I took part in, you know, the whole world will just basically fall apart. She will disown me, she will not want to work with me, because, you know, I suppose I didn't know who I was. And throughout my using and throughout my life, I built up so many personalities and so many stories and so many versions of events, because I was just so scared to tell the truth, ask for help, say I didn't know what to do anymore, that when I got clean, I didn't even know where to begin unrambling the truth. And, you know, when I started, it felt like I actually didn't know who I was. And at the age of 27, I had no idea what my real personality is, because I've always pretended I was this arrogant, confident, you know, person with loads of interesting things to say and definitely better than you and more exciting and with a longer holiday, you know. So thank you for laughing at my joke, it makes me feel a bit more comfortable. So I suppose what I'm trying to say is that the first year of my recovery, for me personally, my experience was trying to really look at myself and see who I really am. And I was terrified of looking in a mirror and looking in my own eyes and seeing a monster, because that's what I thought I was, you know. I have done things that I wish I haven't done, and there were things that I witnessed that I wish I haven't, but I was so preoccupied with it and I was so all up in it that I just thought my only way out of my addiction is to die. I didn't think that if I sat down with someone and said, I need help, that was actually possible. So I was just scared that I would look in, you know, in my own eyes and just see evil. But what I really saw was just this little girl just scared of being rejected, you know. Someone who just always felt uncomfortable and who always felt like, I really wanted to be part of this group, but I always felt that they would not like me, so I needed to do something extra for them to say, you're cool, you belong here. You know, and the first kind of year of my recovery was slowly gluing the pieces of myself back together. Kind of felt like I took everything out and then washed it and then kind of just put back the things that were good. And, you know, it turned out I'm not who I thought I was, which was quite revolutionary at 27 years old, you know. And to see my part in things, which I always thought were someone else's fault, to actually realize that most of the things that have happened, that I, you know, have happened to me or were circumstantial in my life, were actually my own fault, was quite shocking. You know, there were so many things I was so scared of when I laid at night, at like midnight, unable to sleep, thinking what is going to happen when someone finds out, or, oh my God, I told this to that person, what do I say tomorrow? And, you know, the first year of recovery and writing into my step four and then just letting it all out, opening the closet and letting all the demons out means, thank you, today I go to bed and I just sleep. Every single night of those midnight terrifying thoughts is gone, because I've just confronted them. And I suppose, you know, I did my amends to my family and to kind of closest loved ones, and it was the most beautiful, liberating thing, because I got the forgiveness that today allows me to have a wonderful relationship with my family without blaming them for everything that has happened in the past. You know, it was always someone else's fault. And by seeing that a lot of those things were my fault, I've just found compassion for other people and, I suppose, for myself. And I think this year of my recovery, I'm going to be 2 years and 2 weeks, and this year of my recovery, I think, for me, is a year of very much spiritual growth. A lot of things have happened for me which are quite poignant, and 2 years ago, I would have not seen myself on a path, but I am here. And I think, you know, the concept of a higher power when I was, you know, a newcomer was just so alien, and the serenity prayer was just ridiculous, and, you know, I kind of sneered upon it. But in recovery, I found myself meditating, and then I found myself finding the evidence of there being a power greater than me in my life. And, you know, a lot of positive things have happened. And right now I have been doing steps again, like I said, with a new sponsor. And you know, I've been struggling with things that are my insanity today. They're not drugs related, but they are obsessive and compulsive nonetheless, like social media and Instagram and snooping up on people who might have been in my past or are celebrities. And, you know, I can spend hours on it. And I've put it on my step two. I've asked for this insanity to be removed because I'd like to think there are much more productive things that I could do with my day. And I'd like to say I haven't binged on Instagram for quite a few days now. So it works. You know, it's a silly example, but what I'm trying to say is that I can today see the growth more consciously than I saw when I was first year clean and I was kind of holding on, you know, to the meetings and steps. Today I see that there is still opportunity for growth and I work on it and it changes. And there are habits of mine which I'm still working on, but they're habits that I've long have let go of. And, you know, the kind of character defects, as they say, that I don't really act on today, like greed, you know, like envy. I would like to think that I've changed and I just don't show that today. So, yeah, I think my experience has been that I have followed all the suggestions and I have worked the steps and I have done everything I could to the best of my ability. And with every single step, I saw it working more and more and more in my life. And the most wonderful things have happened. And the situations which I thought there was no way out of have all gone just fine. And, you know, I found myself working and I found myself being in a really loving relationship. And, you know, today I have the life that 2 years ago I thought was impossible and therefore I wanted to die. So I think, you know, if there's anyone new or who's struggling, just keep coming back because it does get easier with time. And, you know, work the steps. It's not a meeting where you, I mean, it's not a fellowship where you come to meetings and go for coffees and then do nothing. And there are people who do that, but I personally wouldn't recommend it. What's worked for me is working the steps and being of service and calling my sponsor and listening to what she has to say and just doing it, even if I think it's a bad idea or I don't agree with it. And the last thing I'll say is that, you know, today I have the honour of sponsoring a young, beautiful lady, and to see someone change from complete insanity to, you know, just this beautiful spirit is so uplifting. And, you know, I know it's possible. So, yeah, just keep coming back. Thank you so much for letting me share.